Hello and welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast. I'm your host, Robert Digital.
I'm Mender's Logic.
I'm Flopsy, and this is the podcast by PC Gamers for PC Gamers. Should we talk games?
No.
Right. No. Fuck the pod. I'm out of here. Fuck this thing. Dude, so this week we're starting with our video portion of our podcast, and I didn't know, so I'm dressed like a fucking douche.
Yeah. Of course, last time we said that, it never happened.
It's true.
But this time, we're more determined to make it happen.
Yeah. Got a terabyte up on the Google Drive, so no reason not to.
If you're wondering what people in San Diego look like, folks, this is pretty much it.
Yeah.
It's a beer in hand, flip-flops, shorts, and a tank top, generally. Yep.
It's how we look in winter, too.
Yeah,
it's true.
All right, so what are we talking about? We're going to start out with Banished or Wasteland 2?
Banished, I think.
Should we go into Banished
first? Yeah, let's throw it around.
All right, so Chad and I played Banished this week at the request of some of our listeners.
Listener request.
And if you want us to talk about any games, check out our Steam group and post it on there. We got a discussion thread going on. So any game you want us to play, we will pick one out of there every week or whenever we feel like it, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I'm not sure that we're always going to lead with that, whatever that is, but we're going to fit it in if we can. This week, it just happens to be that, you know, we have a lot to talk about on it.
Yeah.
So you want to give your impressions first? I'll follow up.
How much time did you put in, Bobby?
About 6 hours.
Okay.
Yeah.
Legit.
Pretty good amount. I still don't think I've really made it as far into the game as I want to be, though. First of all, this was made by one dude.
Really?
Luke Hodorowicz. I think I'm pronouncing that right.
That is not his real name, first of all.
No, it's Hodorowicz. So, okay. Yeah, Hodorowicz. But he designed this whole thing by himself, apparently. And it is a city-building strategy game. And it's along the same lines of SimCity, maybe even Tropico 4. And it was okay. I'm not going to say this game was great. I don't even know if I'd recommend it, but it was good. First of all, the graphics were a little bit better than what I expected. They aren't really amazing, but they're not bad, considering. I think Metacritic gave this a 73. The users on Steam gave it a 90% or 90. When I say Steam reviews, I'm talking about
thumbs up, thumbs down.
Yeah, you either vote yes or no. Right, so 90% of the people said yes, 10% said no. And that's kind of tough because that's very black and white. So the Steam review is not a very accurate portrayal of all this. I think the Metacritic's a little more accurate. I think PC Gamer gave it a 70. And I agree with that. This game is like a C-. It's fun. Chad, did you want to describe like some of the gameplay?
Yeah. So it's pretty much isometric. You can change the camera angle, but I never really touched it. It exists, so I think the premise is your people get banished from the kingdom, and you're basically creating a new kingdom, hence the name Banished.
They have a king?
I guess you would be. You're the one like designing it.
Okay.
I kind of feel more like the god.
Yeah.
But I don't think there's a king.
Well, you can't do any god activities. Like, you can't deform the land or anything like that. You're basically just telling your people what to do. So, I thought the music was nice. It kind of had a nice kind of flavor to it. This is kind of like a medieval town, so it's got like a blacksmith. You can make a blacksmith or a tailor, but the tailor has to pull leathers from it. So it's more like medieval-centric. It feels like this game could be a piece of a much larger game. Like, if they started putting, like, technology and tech trees and stuff like that, it would, I think, you know, like, it could go a lot further than this. But what it has, I thought was nice. The thing I didn't like about it, and this is a complaint I have about a lot of games that other people think is actually a benefit, is this game doesn't give you very much direction at all. So there's no winning the game. You can get achievements, but there's no, like, winning the game. All the things you can build start off right at the beginning, and you can build it all, at least from my understanding.
So there's no trees at all?
There's no trees at all.
So,
So you could go right in and try to build a marketplace, even though your town doesn't need a marketplace right now.
And they're all dying.
Yeah.
So you have to figure out what is the best order to build things.
We need hammers, but we can get this cool fucking sweater.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So you have to play this a couple times to figure out what you need and prioritize. For example, my first time I played, I made a pasture and then realized I don't have any livestock. And there's no, I couldn't figure out a way to get one.
I looked it up. The only way you can get livestock is by trading. Yeah. Right?
So, although you can make a pasture, you can't do anything with livestock until you get, what is it called? A port?
A trading port that you put by the lake. And then you got to hope that the trader that comes there actually has livestock, which is a gamble.
And I was never able to get livestock in the...
You got chickens?
That was chicken meat. I got chicken meat.
Oh.
Not actual chickens. Yeah.
You restarted. Why'd you restart? What was your mind?
I've probably played... So I have, I think, around 10 hours of gameplay on this. Mm-hmm. And I've probably played 5 or 6 times. Because, you know, you'll start off, you'll get to a certain level and start, like, dying. Yeah. And then you'll have to change your kind of strategy a little bit and go a little further. The most recent time I got kind of stable. But then my guys started dying of old age. And they weren't having kids. So my population... was just like 15.
Why were all your guys dead?
Like, I don't know. No,
I had that exact same problem. And this kind of game, these strategy city building games, they always go like that. Your first playthrough is always a rough start. You get used to the controls and you figure out, okay, this is how I play the game. The second time, you're way, way better. You may even mess up like I did along the way, and like I ran out of tools. And if you don't have tools...
I ran out of tools.
My first playthrough, I had the same problem as you. I didn't build enough houses, and they don't want to repopulate unless they have their own houses for their families. So even though I had enough housing for all my people, they didn't want to live together, which makes sense, I guess. So they wouldn't reproduce, and eventually they died. My second playthrough, I ran out of iron. I couldn't build tools, and... because I didn't have tools, I couldn't farm well, I couldn't mine well, I basically couldn't do anything, so everybody just started dying.
You get to a point where, like, you run out of stuff, and you can't get back up to where you were because you're out of stuff already.
Yeah.
Like, if you start getting cold, by the time that it notifies you that you're getting cold or you're getting hungry...
It's too late.
You're pretty much fucked.
Yeah, it's all about surviving the winter in this game.
I'm not 100% sure that not having a third room in my house is going to keep me from banging. Just in general.
Yeah, well, I guess these people are a bunch of prudes. But
yeah, a little shyer than you, apparently.
Yeah.
But you know, here's my problem with the game. I mean, number one, the font was a little too small for my liking. In the tooltip windows, it got a little frustrating. Minor complaint. The design...
The GUI, I didn't like the GUI at all in this.
It was very simplistic, but I liked the simple and logical design of it. Mm-hmm. You needed to get logs. You needed to cut down trees to get logs, and you could use that logs to build buildings or to chop into firewood. Everything made sense in this game. It was a really good approach in that way. But it was overall a little too simple. The only objective in this game is to survive, and that's it. Whereas Tropico 4, you want to thrive as a community, and you can do that a number of different ways. Through tourism, through agricultural means, through political means. Like, there's just so many ways, so many things you can do. And this felt like, I don't know, kind of a smaller scale.
To me, it kind of seems, from the outside, I only saw Chad playing from the outside. To me, it kind of seems like almost like a roguelike city builder, because you got to learn what works and what doesn't work and what order you need those things.
Yeah.
So you just keep restarting until you get it just right.
But the problem is, once you figure out the correct way of doing it, then, you know, that's the game right
and
there.
And the fun's over.
You can't play it again and have a different experience.
But maybe...
You can change when you create the map is created randomly. You can put in a seed number if you want to go back to the same map. But you can also do it. You can, like, change the terrain to, like, mountainous. You can make the setting more difficult, which means, like, you don't start with a storehouse and you start with less supplies. So there are ways to up the difficulty on it, but you are right. Once you overcome whatever little challenges they have, then it's pretty much rinse and repeat. You know?
I'll be honest here, too. When you guys were talking about Tropical, I was like, wow, that sounds fun. I might want to play that. And I saw Chad playing this. I have zero interest.
Yeah. Well, this game has no flair, not like Tropico where everything's just blown out and has this whole theme and the music is rocking. This is just very plain and simple. I will give them credit. In games like these, strategy city building games, you got to be very careful with the soundtrack because it can get really old really fast because it plays constantly. So if it's something that you don't really like or that gets old quickly, it's really going to make it hard to play that game. I mean, you could always mute it and play your own music, I guess, but music's a big part of a game, and Tropico nailed it in there. But honestly, my recommendation on this would be play Tropico 4, not Banished. And this game retails for $20, which I feel is a little on the high end for it.
It is. It's a little steep. Like, I could see this being a $10 game. $20 is a little steep. I'm trying to get to the 300 population level. Actually, let's get it out of the 40s. Like,
yeah.
What was the highest your population got?
I got around 60 or 70. But again, it's very, you have to be very specific about how you balance your resources. So you can't really go like, all right, I'm going to set up this operation and get all this stone. You know, it's like, all right, I got to get a little bit of stone, a little bit of iron, a little bit of wood. You know, everything has to be very evenly matched, and you have to expand appropriately. It was really interesting. Every time that I died, it was because I just tried some scheme or idea that I had.
Well, you and I,
all my people,
your people
died.
Died, right?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah. But yeah, I got around 60 or 70, and then that's when I ran out of tools.
Because they have achievements for like up to 900 people, I think, or 300. Something. Yeah. Like you can get really up there.
The way I saw, when Chad said, oh, you were banished and you're starting a new thing, it would have been cool if you could raise a army and go take over the people that banished you. But
you know what? That is the story. You were banished and now you're starting again in a new land. But they only mention it at the beginning and then it's never acknowledged
again. There's no story at all?
Yeah, there's no story at all. I mean, you were banished.
It's just a reason why you had to start.
Yeah.
So I didn't torrent this, but I did read the torrent comments on this, and I've never seen so much like debate on whether or not somebody should torrent something. Like, there was a lot of people saying, like, one guy made this, guys. One guy. Support this one guy.
Yeah.
You know? It's not like you're taking away from Sony Pictures here.
Yeah.
And so there was a lot of, like, hate and vitriol.
Yeah, I get that. And, like, because taking that into account, that this was made by one guy, I mean, it is really impressive. And that's why I can kind of forgive it for being on such a small scale.
I imagine he's probably going to get it. If he wants one, he could probably get a job somewhere.
Oh, I'm sure. Nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And it used a custom engine, and it said on the Wikipedia page, interestingly enough.
He built the engine as well?
I don't know if he built it.
Oh,
but the
I see.
Engine was originally designed for some sort of zombie shooter, but he repurposed it for this game.
Wow.
Yeah. So I think, again, I'm going to say it, a 70 is like the perfect score for it, like a C-. Like, that's, I'm comfortable with
that. Yeah, I think if you're really into the city building stuff, you'd enjoy it. If you're into the free exploration and making your own goals and making your own ways to win in this game, you're going to like it. But if you want direction at all, this game does not have it.
It's like a small slice of Civ 5, basically.
Yeah.
So, Wasteland 2, you guys ready?
Are
you
ready?
Okay, cool. Wasteland 2, you know, this is my second attempt. How long ago was it when I played the first time?
Two months ago.
And you guys heard, like, I was upset because I think I paid too much for it. And I don't know why I had a hard-on for this game during the whole summer sale. Like, this is the one that I wanted.
Well, this is basically the precursor to Fallout, right? And Fallout is your favorite game, right?
Yeah.
Is this officially the prequel to Fallout?
No, story-wise? That's not how it works, I think. This is the way it works, I think. I'm not a game, the old school ones, I don't play those, so. Wasteland 1 was made, Wasteland 2 was made, and then Fallout was made, which was a spiritual successor to those two, right? So then Fallout became what it is today, Fallout 3, and I believe there's Fallout 4 coming out. It's almost all but confirmed that Fallout 4 is coming out, and Fallout 3 is my favorite game of all time. So then somebody went back, Wasteland 2 was never made. It was Wasteland and Fallout 1. That's how it went. And so somebody went back, and I think it was the original guy that made the original
Wasteland.
And so he made Wasteland 2, and it was a Kickstarted thing.
One of the most popular Kickstarters, right?
One of. Actually, the other one that is called Numeria Tides of...
Numeria,
yeah. That's like a huge one.
Yeah.
A lot of people think that's one of the best RPGs ever. I never played it, so once that one comes out, I'll be playing it, because it's the same style. Okay, so basically, let me jump into it.
Almost 3 million Wasteland 2 raised in their Kickstarter.
Yeah, there's a lot of old school players. And, you know, it's funny. If you're going to kickstart something, if you want your crowd to be a certain kind of people, how about people that were PC gamers 15 years ago have now gone on to make some money? Let's be honest, right?
Yeah.
More than if you were, if your source people were, you know, soccer players or something. That was a terrible analogy. But anyway, so it is an RPG at heart. The interactions you have with other NPCs are, is very, you walk around as a four-man group, and you can change them out around who your front man is. And you can give him attributes that are better for talking. And so that's good. And then, you know, the, you could go badass or kiss ass or like, there's so many stats in this game. Albie and I made up one of his characters, and it took us probably 10 minutes for us to get his, everything that he wanted. You know, he wanted to be like an assassin. It's not working out very well. But when he does hit, he does kill. So you
made all of us, right?
Yeah, I made it, the whole.
Is there? There's not permadeath in this, is there?
It's permadeath. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And then I don't know if you can. The game doesn't do a great job. This is one of my problems with it. It doesn't do a great job of explaining how everything works. So at the very beginning of the game, somebody's like, hey, can I come with you guys? And I'm like, no, because that would probably replace one of the guys that I just made. You would think. No, they just get added on. And then they act crazy in combat because they're a fifth person. I didn't know this until I got offered again a second person way down the line. Hours in, somebody else offered to join. I was like, okay. And they joined. And if you don't have leadership skills, they just act crazy. They go crazy and they like shoot randomly. They're like berserked. Because they're not, they have no leader. So this all would be nice if you explained it to me at some point, but they don't.
Huh.
One of the, I've never seen this in a game. So imagine you're playing, oh jeez, the game we were talking about nonstop last week.
Destiny?
No, no.
Dead Rising?
No, the one in space. It took away the whole thing.
It's a space game. We're talking about it nonstop last week. It was in
Star Citizen.
No, man. God damn it.
I got nothing.
We were talking about Miranda is in it.
No, Mass Effect.
Mass Effect, thank you. So you know how you have
the
your
hot one.
Yeah, you have your only your choices, one or two.
Yeah.
So in this game there's like four choices. And not only that, because they're highlighted, what choices okay. So I said the dog is blue, and blue and dog are highlighted so that you could go into more into what either one of those is about, right? But also, you can type in what you think might be important that they don't highlight, and you can get more information that way.
Hmm.
I've never seen this in a game. I don't know if I'm explaining it right. So let's say the blue dog flies, and it'll say blue and dog. And you can click on either one, and it'll explain blue, and it'll explain dog. But flies is in it.
Highlight.
Yeah, and you can try it. And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. But you might be able to find secret stuff that gives you a mission that you would have never saw.
Hmm.
It's very interesting. So you need to pay attention. You can't just click through. You need to actually be paying attention. That was very cool.
It sounds like it's got, like, old-school roots.
It's definitely old-school, yeah. It's a lot more Shadowrun Returns than anything else, I would say.
Turn-based,
squad, XCOM-ish, you know, but there's a lot of micromanaging.
Does it pull up the fights kind of like Divinity does, where you kind of get to a point and it's kind of got a set encounter?
Mm. Hopefully you see them before they see you. You set your guys up. And then you initiate with your sniper, is what I've been doing. But sometimes
that's
I just
walk. Albert, the assassin?
No, that's me.
Oh. Okay.
Albert has a fucking kitchen knife. And that's what he started with. I got him to a sickle. But the very first fight we ran into, it was a giant mutated frog. And it ran at us. Albert ran behind it like a rogue would. It turned around, ate his sniper, and now he's got nothing. He's just standing there getting licked over in the head for 9 points over and over. So that was his first thing. I had to wipe that whole thing because I didn't know it was permadeath. I hadn't saved. Mm-hmm. And our medic died, Bobby. And he's much better this time.
Last time we were talking how much Bobby sucked.
Yeah, he's doing a lot better. He did die, though.
But you said last time when we were talking about this game, you said it doesn't feel like it's ready for release.
Yeah, now it's... I don't know if maybe I've been throwing mixed feeling. I love it. It's fucking awesome. It's everything I love. Imagine XCOM, but...
I look like a gay bondage porn star. And I'm not happy about
and
it.
And I look the most Mexican of all time.
You're wearing a sombrero? That's racist.
Yeah. Actually, I had to scrap this whole group. Oh, we look kind of different now. Chad, yeah, I made you a girl. Your name's Chad Butt Her Face.
Awesome.
Yeah. Well, you know, got to cure the stress somehow.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Can't have four dudes running around.
And Albie looks just like Albie right there. That's really him. So, anyway, inside jokes that nobody else will get. I really enjoy this. But... It has roguelike qualities in that, just like you guys didn't know what combination works for the Banished, I don't know what combination of guys you really need. So it's seeming to look, but it gives you no direction on this. So now I'm starting to learn you need a tank and you absolutely need a healer. And then I'm just going from there.
Is there like aggro? Can you have a tank?
Not really.
He just runs out in front hoping people start shooting him?
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, and you keep your long-range people back.
Gotcha.
But you wear stockings, and it's fucking hilarious because you have an you're basically naked and have an assault rifle.
Is there any sort of multiplayer with this game, or is it strictly single?
It's single player.
Okay. You can't even do local co-op or anything like that?
Yeah. No, not even that. So, but... They cleaned it up a lot. It looks better than when I played it last 2 months ago.
Is everything brown?
Pretty much. Yeah, it's a waste of time.
Yeah. And it's going for $59.99, is that right? Or is it $39.99?
No. It's like $39.99.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's not too bad.
But there's a DLC called Red Boots, which I have nothing about, but that's $40 as well.
$40 for a DLC?
For a DLC, yeah. And I haven't even looked into it, man. I don't want to get into it.
How many hours of gameplay is it?
I'm not sure.
How far are you? Do you know how far you are in the game?
Very early, right? Because I keep starting over. I keep running into these different things. But I really, really enjoy it. The micromanaging comes down to like when you're done with the done with the battle. If you don't reload your own guns, you're gonna start with an empty gun on the next one. You got to think about like little things like that. But it's all in a good way. Like, I'm really enjoying this game. And I'm going to probably be talking about this for the next few weeks.
It looks a lot like Shadowrun, actually.
Yeah, there's a lot of that. Yeah. There's a lot of
that. So if you enjoyed Shadowrun...
You'll probably enjoy this. I didn't get that far into Shadowrun, but I think where Shadowrun was more story-based, this is more tactically based, I want to say, maybe?
Okay.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm.
How's the audio in this? Does it have?
It's fine. It's subpar. I would even say subpar.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't even know. I didn't even notice music, so I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Okay.
Well, speaking of Shadowrun, they recently released Shadowrun Returns Dragonfall Director's Cut, and I'm really glad I didn't play the expansion Dragonfall, because now they have a full Director's Cut where they've updated a few things, they've thrown in a few extra things, and made it its own standalone game. If you already owned the DLC, then they gave it to you for free, which is cool, too.
That's cool.
But I definitely want to get to that at some point. Probably not until after Halloween, though.
Cool. Yeah, because you got all the scary games, right?
Yep. It's going to be nothing but that for a little while.
Do you play with all the lights out and dark and put on headphones and crank it up?
I tried to.
Leave your door open so anybody can walk in?
Yeah, I try to actually get the whole environment right for a scary game. So, yeah, I try to play them at night.
Set one candle up in the far corner of the room so you just see flickering in the background.
I'm getting scared right now. Stop it. Stop setting this scene.
All right, let's talk about the other games that we've been playing.
Yeah.
Who wants to start?
Sure, Bobby.
I'm going to go.
Talking about your scary game.
My scary game. Okay, so other than Banished, the game that I've been playing this week is Outlast. I've been playing it because I want to get to the Whistleblower DLC. And I had played Outlast before, but only made it through like one level. So I picked it up again, and man, this game is good.
Is it the one with the phone or the camera?
It's the one with the camera.
Okay.
This is basically a make-your-own found footage horror film. Because you are the guy who has the camera, who eventually, I guess, loses it, and then somebody else finds it and makes the movie about it. I don't know. That's my theory. But this game, developed by Red Barrels, published by Red Barrels, it's a new company, but it's veterans from other teams that have worked on big projects like Assassin's Creed.
Which is happening a lot.
Yeah. The people are splitting up off these big groups. They're making their own little teams and making smaller games. This is, when I say small, this game's about 4 to 6 hours in length. Not super long. And it kind of works for it because otherwise it would get repetitive. Basically, the plot is you are a journalist who gets a tip about a psych ward that's conducting inhumane experiments. So you go to check it out. You show up at this place. There's a bunch of mutilated, homicidal patients just running rampant all over the place. That's where I'm going to leave it off at. I mean, the rest gets into spoiler territory, but it is good. It is a very scary game. In a world of games that kind of just has, you know, I don't know, a lot of zombie games that are just basically action games with sort of a theme, you know, a horror theme on it. This actually, I feel like its sole intent is to creep you out and to scare you, and it does a very good job of that.
Wow. So you were complaining last week about how games that startle you aren't scary. So this has more than just startlement?
Yeah, this does have jump scares in it, a few of them. But this is kind of like Amnesia, where you can't fight. You have to run and hide. And the chase scenes are intense. Like, when you're running, you can't look back. So you know the guy's coming. They do a really good job with the music. Samuel LaFlamme, I think, did the music. He did another game, too. I think, like, a Spider-Man game. But great job on the music. Like, they amp it up during these chase scenes. Other things happen as well, like your heartbeat starts thumping, and you start breathing very heavily when you get scared.
And all you can hear them and all.
Yeah. And they did a really good job with the main character's character animations, too. Remember last week when I was saying the Q and E lean keys are useless? Well, in this game, I mean, it's so ironic because this game, you totally have to use them because you're constantly sneaking around. You can't shoot.
Yeah, imagine.
Yeah, it's a slower pace. You're sneaking around. And when you lean, he actually puts his hand up against the wall and kind of peers to the left. And it seemed very fluid. I like that.
Now, why doesn't he just leave the mansion?
He tries to. He gets trapped in there. And he keeps trying to escape. And he gets sucked in further and further. And then all this crazy stuff happens. But yeah, it's basically the entire story is him trying to escape. First, he goes in there trying to get the story. And then he gets stuck in there and he's trying to escape. Another little touch they made that I really like, and I want to point this little thing out because it makes such a big difference to me. When they have a character who shows some sort of wear and tear. Now, the best example I could think of this, maybe not the first time I've seen it, but the first time I noticed it, was in the first Batman game. As you go through the game, your cape gets torn, you get tears in your armor. These little things happen, and I thought that was a really nice touch. In this game, he loses a finger or two, and at one point he drops his camera, the lens cracks, so you play the rest of the game with the lens cracked. Little touch that I thought added a lot. I like when they do things.
You know, it's a good game that does
Tomb
that?
Raider. Tomb Raider. Yeah, that's right. I was just thinking, almost cut him off to say that. Yeah. But he didn't mention that when Tomb Raider was.
Tomb Raider. Well, I'm not saying that Tomb Raider was completely useless, but the story in that was. The story in this game, though, however, I liked. The ending had a bit of a twist. I thought it was pretty cool. I can't wait to get into Whistleblower.
How are they going to do an expansion, though?
It's a prequel.
Oh, okay.
Because the tip that you get that gets you to go to this place is from someone called the Whistleblower. So I'm assuming the Whistleblower is the prequel.
That makes sense.
So is the gameplay going to be different then? It's not going to be a dude running around with a camera then. Is it?
I don't know how they're going to do it. I purposely haven't researched much about Whistleblower just because I wanted to go into it fresh. But I imagine it's going to be similar in a lot of ways. Now, there were a few things about this game I didn't particularly care for. One of those being they've got a pretty standard key and switch system where all the puzzles that you have to solve is just run over somewhere, find the key, run back to the door, turn a valve, get in there. It didn't really get that old because the game is so short, but had this been a longer game, I probably would have gotten tired of it pretty quickly. That and the character animations for the enemies, not super great. They're pretty stiff. They look like they're kind of lumbering around. And with any
story, they are zombies, Bobby.
They're homicidal maniacs, not really zombies, though.
Gotcha.
But they look cool. Like, they did a great job designing these guys. They look totally messed up. A lot of blood and guts, like all that crazy stuff. Yeah, what else do I want to say about this game? And that might be it. I mean, that's really only my only two little complaints, but this game did such a good job of being scary. I cannot wait to get into Whistleblower.
Awesome. And
I think that's about it.
Cool. One of the other games that I got into this week was Archage, I guess. Archage? How do we say that? Archage. Archiagi. So, 3-hour install, free to play. Although you can get the Founders Pack on Steam, I wasn't able to actually get the game on Steam, so I had to go to the...
So weird. Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
So I had to go to the site to get it booted up and all. 3 hours, downloaded it overnight, got up in the morning, excited to play. It's an MMO from Trion. Trion's the ones that have done Rift.
Mm-hmm.
What else have they done? They've done a couple other ones, but Rift is the big one. Yeah. I enjoyed Rift when it came out. I trust Trion. They do some good stuff, so I was excited for this game.
Yeah, I downloaded this and I installed it, but I did not get a chance to play it. And I was a little confused because I thought this was on Steam, but apparently it's not.
I couldn't find it. I got up in the morning ready to play this.
Mm-hmm.
And they had close to 10 servers for U.S., all of them had a queue of 1,800 to 2,800 people. You're talking about 2 to 3 hours queue.
Wow.
So I said, this is terrible. So I didn't play it for most of this week. I came back this weekend to play it, to give it another go. Apparently people, they've got, crafting is big in this game, and so people were doing some AFK stuff there, and it wasn't auto-booting people out of the AFK. So they had made some patch changes to the game. And so I was finally able to get in. They also added some more servers. So I was finally able to get in. The character screen, they look pretty. It's a pretty looking game for me. But it's very standard to me now. Like, I didn't see a whole lot of innovation on this game.
It's an MMO, right?
MMO. It's trying to be kind of a WoW clone, but it's doing some... It's free to play, so it's trying to do some stuff with like crafting, and you actually can farm and collect kind of mounts that you kind of have to grow up. So at like level 7 or 8, you get this kind of like little pet that you have to kind of feed and do stuff with it. And after a while, it turns into a big thing, and then you can get on it and ride it around. So when you dismount, he just follows you around. And you can also, once you start leveling him up, you can start doing... like activities with him, like you can kind of like joust, you can actually swing while you're mounted on him, and you can do a couple other things with him. So it's got some interesting stuff, and they also have some like interesting stuff with ships. You can like get ships, and this is further down the line. The other thing that is cool is they have these public spaces, it's called, and you can put stuff in public spaces. So instead of like gathering professions, you can actually plant seeds on these public spaces and grow stuff up.
Like what?
Like plants and stuff that you need. So you can actually like harvest your own stuff.
So instead of like looking for bushes that you need,
yeah,
you can actually plant them and like harvest.
Yeah.
Can somebody else come harvest your shit?
I think so. So it shows up, everybody can see it. And anybody can click on it, but I think if somebody tries to take your stuff, it notifies the basically police, and they've got this whole like piracy thing going on where you can be kind of a pirate, but then you can't be members of guilds. So you could be you. It sounds to me like you can play like the bad guy if you want to. If you can be the griefer if you want to, and they've got a mechanic around it.
Interesting.
But it gives you penalties, which kind of is an interesting
No, it's super cool.
Is it penalties, or is there just a risk of getting caught and losing?
No, like, you can't join a guild. And yeah.
So there's, you have to actually forfeit some privileges.
That's what I've gotten up to
Reaper class. That's fucking awesome.
I've gotten up to level 10 now. So, you know, this is MMO. This is hours of gameplay. So I apologize. I don't have a lot of details on it. The other thing is that's cool is, so you start your class, and you can pick from, like, one of 6 or 7 standard classes. You know, assassin, archer, mage, healer, you know, warrior. You know, the standard classes. Right. When you hit level 5, you can pick a second class. But there's more of these second classes. So I started out as an archer. And when I hit 5, it gives you the list. And, you know, it recommends that you play either, I forget what it was, the warrior as your second class. But I went crazy, and I went the song dancer or whatever, the bard.
The bard.
Because I love bards.
Right,
bards,
right.
Ever since EverQuest.
Why didn't you initially go bard?
You can't pick that. Oh, I see. That's not one of your, like, base classes. But then when you hit level 10, you can select a third tier to pull from.
Right.
So everybody's making their own hybrid classes.
Right.
So the level of complexity is going to get really high on which skills you pick and everything and how they play with each other. And there's also a combo system. So as the archer class, if I do a shot that bleeds them, then I have another shot that does damage if they're bleeding, so to speak. So they've got all these combos. Or one, if they're slowed, I can do a shot that stuns them. So they kind of play it with each other. So some of them play nicer together and some of them don't.
Right.
The song one doesn't play well at all with Archer because the song is kind of magic-based and the Archer is physical-based.
Can I say that this game looks terrible?
It looks exactly like WoW to me.
Yeah, I mean, it looks like Rift to me. Honestly, it looks a lot like Rift. You can tell this is a Korean game. They don't explain shit to you. Like, you good luck. And I, when I got in there, the first time I finally got in there, there must have been 100 other people all doing the same exact quest as me. Everybody's running around. You know, you have to sit and wait for basically your turn. Everybody's clicking on the one spot.
That's the worst.
And the other thing is, players have collision in this game. So they're all circled around the guy, and they're all sitting there as they're doing these videos. So you can see, like, the little video icon above their head because they're watching a video. And, like, you're having difficulty getting in there to even collect the guy because there's player collision all around you.
It's like a party that's a cockfest.
Yeah.
There's like one girl and a bunch of dudes trying to get in there twice.
Yeah, exactly.
So I tried to play this game twice and no dice. Just like today I tried to play and it said your queue is 950 players.
Yeah.
And how long does that take to get through? I just clicked it off.
Yeah, 900 I didn't even bother.
Yeah.
But 900 short for what he... So...
Terrible. Are you going to play this again?
If I can get in, I will. I'll play some more.
I don't know. See, MMOs aren't a very profitable business right now. I'm surprised people are still attempting to get one off the ground.
The last one that was profitable, I think, was Star Wars. I mean, they're still making their money every year.
Yeah, that one did well.
Did Lineage 2 come after Star Wars?
No.
I think Guild Wars 2 might have even had a good run.
Yeah, I want to say... Man, that's one. I'll bring it up again. Like, I can't say anything bad about that game. I thought it was really well done. It was beautiful. They had some interesting things, like original things. And for some reason, I just stopped playing it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, MMOs are just tough to break into.
Yeah.
It's like you really have to invest in an MMO. And, like, you kind of are like, okay, is this going to be good enough that I want to spend all my time playing this game? Or... am I going to play it for 20 hours and realize this game's a piece of shit? And now I've wasted 20 hours playing this game.
And not having a subscription fee on Guild Wars 2. I mean that.
Well, same with Archage. Like, there's none? It's free to play. They do, if you see in the bottom of the screen, they've got the marketplace. So I'm sure there is, you know, XP bonuses and all sorts of stuff that you can buy to, like...
No, I get that, but Guild Wars is like, you get the full game because you pay $50 up front. But then you're done, you know?
Yeah.
There are microtransactions, of course, but it's not...
Cosmetics.
Yeah.
Well, the other thing that was cool is, if you can see right there, like, they have arrows on the floor that point to your actual quest, so you can literally just run towards the arrow and get to places.
What do you guys think about that in general? I mean, EverQuest originally didn't have it, and then they put it in, and it's just a further dumbing down of games. I don't think Quest should have
arrows. I think there's a level of expectation now that...
That this is...
Yeah, it's just this standard way it works, so...
I like to weed out dummies.
Well, I think a lot of people, whether or not we say it's good or bad, I think if a game doesn't put it in, less people are going to play it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Right. Yeah. But I also... I guess I use it. If it's there, I use it, obviously. Mm-hmm. But also, I like to think that I did something to do this quest, as opposed to literally just... Tracing is what you're doing. I'm tracing the line to pick up the muffins to take to this guy.
Yeah.
That's all. It's just what's fun in that?
Yeah.
You know?
The other thing that was interesting in this game, Albert brings up a good point. They have these things called labor points, and you accrue them by doing activities, and I think over time you also get them. And you need to spend these labor points to do certain things, such as your crafting. So crafting is a huge part of Archeage, apparently. So you have to, like, earn these labor points to be able to... So you can't just sit there for all day crafting swords or whatever it is. Like, you have to actually earn these things. So part of your gameplay is, instead of... Like, in WoW, you can just build whatever. It's separate to actually the fighting part. Whereas in this game, you kind of have to earn these points to be able to do the crafting.
So it's kind of like earning blueprints?
Sort of. To me, it felt more like stamina. Like, you can't just blacksmith all day, every day.
Yeah.
But one of the other ways you can spend labor points is, you can, for rewards for doing quests, I would get an unknown sword. And you'd have to kind of identify it, but it would cost you a labor point to actually identify it. So, it's not just crafting stuff. You would use these labor points in other ways.
Looks like flight points from WoW as well.
No, that's actually a glider. So, you can earn... these gliders, so you can just get up on a high point and just launch
yourself.
Kind of
like Firefall.
Kind of like Firefall, but they don't have launchers. They don't have launchers.
Oh, okay. You got to get to a high point first.
Yeah, that's what it seems like to me. Yeah. This is a kind of that seemed to me like a late game sort of thing.
No, I'm watching this gameplay, man, and I really don't think that I'm going to play it.
Yeah, it's
it just doesn't look like anything that I haven't seen before.
Yeah, that's what it is. It's and if you're into the crafting, yeah, it does look a lot like EverQuest 2. It's got, I don't know. So I'll play it some more. If I find anything else interesting, I'll let you guys know. But
cool.
All right, cool. Quick note: I noticed Albert put up there. I didn't see it in time on Outlast. Apparently, you can look behind you while you're running, and I feel like this was something that they introduced you to at the very beginning of the game. But I started playing this game back in December, played the first level, didn't pick it up again until recently. So I must have forgot all about that. And I went through the entire game without looking back. That's just how I am, man. I don't look back.
Hardcore.
That's how you know,
similar thing happened in Deponia when I played through the trilogy. Almost halfway through the third game, I realized you can hit the space bar and it shows you all the objects you can interact with. I'm like, wow, that would have helped, like, 20 hours ago.
Bobby, you have any regrets in life? No, man. I don't look back.
I never look back. Yeah. But the game that I have really wanted to play this week and just have not been because I feel like I've got to keep the scary game thing going is Team Fortress 2. And there's really nothing new to be said about here. But I do want to mention that I started using this website, tf2warehouse.com. And this is old news. Anybody who plays a lot of TF2 knows about this site. But it's new to me. Apparently, you can go on this site, trade in items that you have, get credit, and then spend that credit on items that you want. So it's a way to trade in stuff. They're also accepting credit cards now. So I dropped $10 and decked out my medic, pyro, and heavy, the three classes I play the most.
With what exactly?
For the medic, I painted Bill's hat, finally, and I got Archimedes, and I didn't get any strange guns yet, but I wanted to do that. And I got mutton shots. I got to rock the sideburns.
He does in real life, folks.
Yeah.
As you can see, maybe.
I like my medic, though. He's not... Because everybody just wants to get the most outlandish shit and look crazy. But I just I don't know. I kind of want a plain, simple look for my medic. I will say I did pre-purchase Alien Isolation, and they have this...
I want the hat so bad, dude.
Which hat are you talking about?
The Alien Head
hat. The Xenomorph?
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw someone in it when I was playing the...
Oh, you did?
Yeah, it is hilarious. It's for the scout. He's got a Xenomorph head and tail, so it literally looks like awesome. This little... dinosaur almost just running all over the place all quickly, like a little raptor. It was pretty funny.
How do you get
a pre-purchase.
You got a pre-purchase.
Wait, Alien. Didn't you though?
I did through Green Man Gaming. Yeah, there it is.
Yeah,
I pre-purchased
dude, look
through
at that, dude.
Green Man Gaming, so I won't get this until like the day the game comes out. I did the same thing with...
Wait, you will get this?
I will get this, but not right now. I did the same thing with Wolfenstein, and I got the heavy gear, you know, the metal one. But I didn't get it until the game came out. So I will eventually have that, but I never play Scout, so
yeah,
not
gonna
do any good.
Really.
But yeah, if you're into TF2, check out TF2warehouse.com. Even if you just want to like sell some of your stuff and trade it in, because if you've got some extra items or stuff that you don't even use, you could probably get a good amount of credit for it.
If there's some chance that you're a PC gamer and you haven't played TF2, there is absolutely no zero reason to not go check it out.
And you know what's been happening? Because I've been dipping into this game a little bit here and there. You know, like I said, I've been trying to focus on other stuff. But whenever I'm just like, man, I need a break. I just got to relax.
Yeah.
I hop into TF2. And I've been playing with so many people, man. So like listeners and people on my friends list. People that I never game with, I talk to occasionally. Yeah. Everybody has TF2. Everybody plays. Like, it's just one of those games. It's common ground. It's the lowest common denominator. You know, you can always play that with someone.
For sure.
You want to talk Peggle?
Not really, but a listener, he wanted to become friends on Steam. So I was like, let me click on this guy, see what he's all about before I give him the good graces of my friendship.
I see invite, yes. Like, that's my investigative skills.
No, so I went to his page, and the last game he had been playing was Peggle Extreme. And I was like, what the fuck is this, Peggle Extreme?
Is this the newer one?
No. Okay. Peggle Knights is the newest one.
Okay.
This is, like, Valve was like, Peggle's awesome, and let's do our own version. So they put on a bunch of, like, Valve things into Peggle. So the backgrounds are a lot of, like, that's the tripod or whatever that you fight, and there's the pyro and stuff. When this came out a long, long time ago, I was already burnt. I probably put like over 100 hours to Peggle. So when this came out, I was already burnt out on it and I didn't want to touch it. So I was like, what the fuck is Peggle Extreme? So I looked for it. I already owned it. So I went and started playing it. And it's not as good as the original Peggle. And it's not as good as Peggle Knights. But, you know, I hadn't played it all the way through. So I just started playing it and Peggle sucked me right back in again, you know?
I don't understand the appeal of Peggle. Like, this game doesn't look interesting to me at all. But I know it's huge. It was hugely popular back in the day. But I just...
It's amazing. I can't. It mixes luck and skill to a point where you can't really... You can't say that, I'm super good at this game and there's no luck involved at all. Like, you can be a master and still luck is involved. But the other way around. Some people are just lucky. I watch my girl play sometimes. I'm like, what the actual fuck? Like, you should not have passed that level. She's like, I'm just good. No, you're not. You know, that kind of shit happens. So there's a lot of that. Anyway, Peggle Extreme, I can't recommend it. It wasn't as good as the original one. Peggle Knights is better. And I can't wait for Peggle 2. And I like indie titles that are obscure and shit.
Okay. Peggle, time well spent.
Well, how about I talk real quick about a non-indie title? Heroes of the Storm technical alpha ended on the 22nd, so we'll be ended by the time you guys hear this. So I believe that means we're getting a step closer in making this more of a public.
That was a big beta patch then, you right?
So the technical alpha is ending. Servers are going to be down for a week or so, they said. It'll come back up. I think that'll go into their beta, I believe. I believe since I was in alpha, I'll still be allowed into the beta. They're going to kick back everybody. If you bought anything, you'll kick back and have Blizzard credit. So you can repurchase it. All your stats are reset to zero, but they're pulling in like your friends list now, finally, from Blizzard. So it's turning into a closer to a real game, and I think they're going to do it like Hearthstone again, where it's in beta, they're going to invite more and more people, and then eventually it'll just be open beta, and then they'll just click it over at some
point. Should we try this out? What do you think?
For a MOBA?
Yeah.
I mean, I've played a couple more matches recently, and it's still the same thing that I have an issue with. There's the issue that I have is you cannot, there's no way to be a rock star in this game. Mm. And so that's going to deter a lot of people.
But at the same time, you can't be a loser in this game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Okay. Is it harder
it's
to blame?
Socialism. It's mobile socialism.
Yeah, communist. But, and the fact that you can't purchase items make it really hard to diversify customize. Yourself.
Yeah, yeah.
And there's, like, that's part of the skill of MOBAs is how do you build, how do you create.
Circumstantial builds. Yeah.
Exactly. Like, how do you react to what the opponent is doing? And are you better at reacting than they are?
Maybe we need this. Maybe we need like a very dumbed down MOBA so that people can get into MOBAs.
Do you think it's going to be harder for people to BM in this game? Or grief? Like, do you think it's a friendlier environment because of that?
I think you're going to get a lot of like casuals. And so you're probably going to get a lot of people that don't know what they're doing. But what as casual is concerned, I thought LOL is casual enough. Like, there's a lot of things in LoL that, you know, is just very beginner-friendly.
I guess what I'm trying to say is it's very difficult to go into a LoL game or a Dota game or a Smite game and, like, they're, and not see some, like, people yelling at each other, you know? Yeah. That's very rare to play, like, a whole game where people aren't at each other's throats. Does Heroes of the Storm seem like it's not going to be like that?
I think, since you can't, like, fall behind, you'll fall behind as a team, but not as an individual, I think that it will be more difficult. Like, your sucking won't be as obvious.
Okay.
So, I think in that respect, yes. Hmm. But at the same time, there's no way to be like I said, you can't be a rock star.
Can everybody see your KDA?
They don't have KDAs. They don't assign, like, who got the kill. If you're involved with it, you basically get a point. You get points into your whatever, your... I forget what they call it.
It really is a socialist, like MOBA.
Yeah.
It's exactly what it is.
So the only way you don't get, like, that same thing, if I did one shot, if I did 1% and the other guy did 99%, we both get 1 point our, like, kill mark or whatever.
Interesting.
So, anyways, that's it with Heroes of the Storm.
So speaking of MOBAs, I played some Smite this week. I didn't want to, but I loved every minute of it. They're sucking people back in because now that they have sales on... they do random sales. Like, I think today they started a fantasy sale. So they have the, like, AMC... what is that? The Dark Cthulhu. Whisperer. Yeah. And, you know, a few other ones. So they're doing sales, and also they're giving free gems until the 30th. So you want me to start playing your game again? Yeah, give me shit that you usually charge for.
Yeah.
How could I not, you know? And it's a game that I love. So I was really enjoying that. And here's the best part maybe about it is they don't have to do any of this. Just recently it came out that they're the fifth most played PC game in the world. That's huge.
Smite is,
yeah. They're making money hand over fist over there, I think. Hmm. And I think they're finding out that doing these sales brings in even more money. So there's no reason for them to give you free gems. There's none. But they do it. They're a cool company. I really like them. And I kind of feel like my little baby's all grows up. He's all grows up and he's all grows up.
Yeah. The last game that I've played this week, and I've played a bunch of it, I played Destiny. And I know this is not a PC game, and we talked about this last week, so I'm not going to bring up a whole lot. But the one thing I did want to bring up is that their RNG in this game is killing me. Like, so you get to 100, you get to 20, you cap out, and there is just no way to get these items unless you are just a lucky fuck and they drop for you. So you get these things called engrams randomly when you kill people, and they could be like a green engram, a blue engram, or a purple engram, and or a white one. They got the same kind of color scheme as WoW does. So white, green, blue, purple, and then epics, which is, you know, gold.
Hmm.
So they follow the exact same thing as WoW. So
when you're grouped with people, does it decide who gets it, or is it the first one to grab it?
You only see your loot.
Okay.
So you'll see people like run around, and then you'll realize they're picking up loot or whatever. But you can get like a purple engram. So these engrams are kind of like chests or whatever. And you go to the engram decoder guy, and he decodes them for you, and then you get the actual item. So you can get a purple one and end up with a white item. The purple doesn't mean you got a purple item. That means you have a chance of getting a purple item. So if you get lucky and you get a purple item, that's literally 40 hours of work that you just got right there.
Wow.
For just completely random. And the other thing is, their loot drops don't seem to increase for the harder difficulty mob that you fight. So people are just spamming low-level spots that just respawn a lot. So they're killing like level 4s and level 6 guys just again and again and again, just getting these engrams to drop. Because if you kill a level 4 as a 20, you're going to get a level 20 engram. So
why aren't you doing that?
Because I don't want to just... I don't want to
masturbate
to the screen while I'm killing level 4 things. I want to like have a challenge and have something interesting going on.
Right.
So like, the other thing that pisses me off is, so you can get up to 100 Vanguard
marks.
What
a difference a week makes, by the way.
I like the game. It's a lot of fun. So I'm going to just level all 3 characters up to 20. So I've got 2 up to 20 right now. I'm going to get a 3rd up to 20.
It doesn't sound like the end game content is really that great, though. I mean, people are just farming level 4 mobs.
Yeah, that's my whole thing. And the other thing is, so you get 100. So basically, you get these either Vanguard marks or Crucible marks. So Vanguard's PvE, so dungeons, basically, and Crucible is PvP. So you can farm these marks. You can get 100 a week, but an item can cost you 150 marks. So you're basically having to play 2 weeks to get one purple item, so to speak.
Hmm.
So, but what pisses me off is a dungeon is equal to 2 or 3 or 6 Vanguard marks, depending on the difficulty, whereas a Crucible match gives you 2, 3 or whatever. So you can cap out your Crucibles like a lot faster than the Vanguard ones.
Are you still speaking English?
Doesn't seem fair. Like the PvPs can get your marks so much easier than the PvE people can. Mm. And since I'm a heavy PvE player, I feel like I have to put in so much more time. To get my 100 marks would probably take me 40, 60 hours to get my 100 marks.
As opposed to
10, 15 hours doing...
Well, that's PvP. If you're winning at PvP or just participating.
I don't think there's a difference. Hmm.
You don't get bonuses for winning or being the best on your team?
I don't PvP a lot.
Right.
So, but anyways, I like the game. The game's fun, but... They need to work on their end game and how loot is dropped and how, like, they're just trying to close off all these ways that people are trying to hack the system. And I think the system itself is flawed. You know, the harder enemy mobs should drop the higher level stuff.
Obviously.
You know, it just needs work. But these are, you know, this is Bungie, the guys that did Halo. And so they're not used to doing a PvE sort of environment. So these are things that they haven't had to think about before. Mm. So I think they're just kind of trying to learn their way with this thing, and they're running into some issues. But
overall, still enjoying it?
The gameplay is awesome. It looks pretty. The world is interesting. They don't explain the lore very well at all. So.
Every gun I've ever heard Chad shoot sounds exactly the same.
There is some monotony when it comes to their weapons. Like, you'd think there'd be, like, some laser things that make some...
Rocket launchers.
I mean, they have them, but as far as, like, your primary weapon is concerned...
Yeah, they all sound the same.
They all pretty much are the same, yeah.
Hmm.
So, anyways.
Well, maybe that'll be all cleared up by the time it hits the PC.
Yeah, I hope so.
For sure.
So I think that's about it for what we've been playing this week. Let's talk some news.
Oh my God, Gamersgate. Gamergate. Gamergate. Gamersgate.
It's kind of funny how I haven't heard about this until you guys brought it up to me. I've totally got my head in the sand when it comes to news like this.
Well, so, it's really big because it's trending on... I almost said trending on Twitter. But trending on Twitter. Because it's a hashtag, and it's a very popular hashtag. And I think a lot of female gamers are hashtagging it on every post that they do. So it's trending very highly. Mm.
So does anybody want to attempt to explain what this is?
I can give it a shot.
Give it a shot.
All right.
Is this, so, before we get into this, do you think this is important for non-Americans, or do you think this is just an American-centric kind of thing?
Is it nationalistic of me to think that this is the hub of gaming?
A little bit, yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so. Gaming's huge in Korea, China. Yeah.
Europe, I mean, Europe. Different games are
maybe
bigger.
Are we trendsetters, even?
I have no problem getting into this. I was just curious if our international audience even cares about Gamergate. But
I would say so. I think this affects everybody.
Or anything that twins on Twitter.
Damn it. All right, go for it. Explain this.
Okay. The way I understand it is two rather feminists, one was a journalist and the other one was a game developer, got a lot of hate on every social media avenue that they could, you know, internet hate, you know, that, but it was very directed at them. And then why was it directed at them? And a lot of it had to do with some of the things that they were saying. And one of them, man, jeez.
I'm confused already.
Yeah.
All right, let me try to...
Go ahead. You try.
This is my understanding. A female developer, it was basically found out that they were having a relationship with a game journalist.
Right.
And so there was some... There's two things going on. There's kind of this misogyny versus feminism that is prevalent in games. And we all acknowledge that it's prevalent in games. It's a very male-dominated society, and the games are very male-centric. Mm-hmm.
I have a big issue with that, though. Yes, it's a male-dominated society, but when they're talking about games being male-dominated, yeah, sure. They're just going by market. The market dictates what's made. People make what people think they think they're going to buy.
Yeah. No, right? And I agree. But I'll give you an example. Maybe I brought this up already. When I was up at PAX... Angie was up there, and she's like, why are all these girls dressed like sluts? And I said, well, if you are a girl and want to dress up as a video game character, what choice do you get? What girl can you dress up as?
What the fuck's Kirby?
but that's kind of my point. Like, we
no,
as
no,
gamers,
you're right. Yeah.
We as gamers don't even acknowledge that.
Princess Peach, maybe?
Yeah, like, but, so, that's one of the issues that Gamersgate. The other issue that should have been more of an issue, it turned into a feminist kind of versus, you know, a feminist movement sort of thing. But I think one of the core issues is the game journalism itself, because one of the reasons she was getting so much hate was that there was an implication that her game, which people didn't think was a very good game, a lot of people didn't think it was should be national news or anything like that. It was getting reviews because, you know, she was having, maybe there was some impropriety there because she was dating a game journalist.
Right.
Yeah. So there's a larger issue here with game journalism and how ethical are they?
Yeah, and I think that game, by the way, is Depression Quest. I've seen it on Steam. It kind of looked interesting. I saw it. I'm like, that's an interesting title. But as I looked more into the game, I'm like, well, I don't know. That actually looks really boring. But it seems like the big issue with Gamersgate, from my understanding, is people are just really upset about the relationship between game developers and game journalists, and they think that there's a lot going on behind our backs that is causing certain games to get better ratings to benefit other people for financial reasons, and not necessarily, like, they aren't being very critical of them. And this goes back to, like, Jeff Keighley and the whole Doritos incident. You know, people have just had this
What was the Eidos game that got a journalist fired because he gave it a negative review on was it Kane and Lynch?
I don't know. I haven't heard that story.
Did you not? A game journalist gave Kane and Lynch a negative review on, I believe it was IGN, and it was being heavily promoted on IGN, and he actually got fired, and there was a whole thing about him getting fired regarding it. So
it's interesting because this, more than most other medias or genres, I don't know what to call it, our culture, gaming culture, is much more tied in than other ones, I feel. Because it's just like, it's like a bunch of dudes hanging out. And then there's some girls that are in there too, but it's just like, I don't know how to explain it. I feel like movies are very, you're going to get all walks of life. But gamers are just gamers. And they're much more specific. Well, right? And within that, you're going to have some like, you're going to have some like crossover. A lot of you scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. Mm-hmm. You know, because it's such a small source material that you're working with.
I think the crux of the situation is that the game community is a young, like, not age-wise, but the whole gaming industry, culture is very, it's new. It's trying to figure out its roots.
Yeah, right.
Just like movies did back in the day. For the gaming, we're still just trying to figure it out. And I think it's just going to take some time, but we're in this age of social media and everything is instantaneous. So it's trying to grow itself up, but at the same time, all the missteps that go along with it just get blasted to everybody else and all these things get known.
And this is why it's so confusing. What Bobby said is half of what it is. Mm-hmm. Yes,
people are concerned. Well, everybody keeps trying to make it about something else. Some people are writing articles making it out to be this attack on women in gaming.
Yep.
And some people are saying, no, we just want fair, honest reviews. And some people are just, they have the right idea, but they're going about it the wrong way by making these personal attacks and threats on female game developers. It's a mess, the whole thing is.
Yeah.
But I'd like to sit in my own little bubble and think that it's just about the games and, you know, fuck all that shit. I just like playing these games. But the truth is, people make a living off of reviewing games and off of game journalism. So this is like an actual real deal. I mean, the video game industry makes more than the film and music industry combined. I mean, this is big business. There's lots of money involved. And anytime there's money involved, like, shit gets shady, you know?
Yeah.
And I don't know. I mean, I think that's why I really like the approach that we have. I mean, we're all old dudes. We got jobs. We got relationships. We're trying to balance. And we kind of do this whole podcast thing for fun. And it's not really about the money for us. So, you know, if we recommend a game, it's because we honestly liked it.
What money was that again? Could it be possibly about the money we spent?
Albert makes a good point. He said it's a call for transparency and ethics reform in the game industry media. And I think that's...
On one end, yes. Yeah.
But I think we experience this in all, like, politics, in business. There's always impropriety going on. And, you know, we're just figuring out now. I think gamers were a little delusional in thinking that it wasn't going on, you know?
I think. When it's so obvious, and that's why I kind of put some of the blame on the consumer. You've got to really pick your sources carefully. Like, who do you trust? For me, the best recommendation I can get is from a friend of mine, like one of you guys. If you say, this game is awesome, you got to check it out, then yeah.
Yeah, but I like everything and you hate everything.
Oh, yeah, I kind of filter a little bit with you. But, you know, that's what I'm saying. You know, the best recommendation comes from a friend. Also, and I'll give him a little plug here, is Analog Reviews on YouTube. I think those guys do a phenomenal job of being very analytical of games and giving you an honest review, pros and cons. Also, I tend to like PC Gamer a little bit. I think they're kind of in line with what I like and don't like. But other than that, anything else I see, I take with a grain of salt. You know, you got to be wary of these things. You can't just look at a Metacritic. I mean, to sum up a game in a number, so like, oh yeah, that game's a 7. You know, that's completely useless. No game can just be summed up by a number.
I think the other problem is that games are 10, 20, 30, 40 hours versus a movie is an hour and a half to 2 hours. And so you can't, plus a movie is $10 or $1.99 if you're getting it other ways versus a game which is $50 or $60. So
and everybody wants a review in the first hour.
Yeah, too. You have to be a lot more careful about what you are playing because you just don't have the time or money or resources to be playing all these. To find, you know, the one game and 10 bad ones, you just can't do that like you can with movies or whatever.
Yeah, it's like wanting a review on a restaurant with just one bite of food.
Yeah.
It's like, right, that very first hour they want reviews. It's not a good depiction of the whole game.
Yeah.
Analogies for the win.
So, yeah, it sounds like this whole thing is a mess, but I got a feeling it's going to blow over fairly quickly.
The way I see it is, if I hashtag Gamergate, I'm just saying I'm upset about something in the gaming industry at this point is what it seems like.
The hearing about the death threats and everything like that, though, that's like...
Don't pick... it's the internet. You can't take it seriously.
I know. It's just frustrating to me that people are so idiotic that they think that they can just do stuff like that. I don't know.
Yeah, it's pretty ridiculous. And that's kind of what I was saying when people have the right idea. Transparency in journalism, like what we were talking about earlier, you know, people have the right idea. They want fair, honest reviews, but, you know, sending death threats to a game developer is not the way to get it. And some people are going about it the wrong way. Some people are going about it the right way, though. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's good that people bring this up and call it to attention.
I think transparency in everything is the way things should. Chad, you know the way I live my life.
And, no filter.
Yeah, no filter. I think everything should be transparent. But, you know, every once in a while we like to, like, tease something. Like, what do we have coming out? Maybe some video content bonus stuff coming out. Now, if I were to say that, exactly what we're going to do, it'd be too much, but I'm just going to hint. And here we go. It's going to be magic.
Yeah, we are hopefully going to be having more YouTube content coming out.
Yeah, besides the podcast.
And if you haven't seen the YouTube channel yet, you definitely need to check it out. It's linked on our website, or you can find it
absolutely
on YouTube. It's one of them
is just us flexing for like 20 minutes.
Yeah,
it's pretty nice.
Looking getting a lot of hits.
All right, so why don't we talk about Microsoft buying Minecraft for $2.5 billion?
So I remember a while ago somebody said that billionaires are the new millionaires. That was about 10 years ago. Somebody said that, and it's totally true, right? Mm-hmm. And then now acquisitions are almost always billion. Yeah, they're anything newsworthy is in the billions. And so now in acquisitions, if your company isn't worth $1 billion, it's not newsworthy.
Yeah.
You know? So, but this is crazy because it's kind of like, this one guy started one thing. This is kind of like the Banished guy getting 2.4. It's not the same thing. It's one dude working in his garage and that's something really hard and it turned to something amazing. What's this mean for the gaming culture?
I don't think another Minecraft will be coming out like in a year or something like that.
No.
And didn't Microsoft already admit that they're not going to make their $2.5 billion back? It's more of a
appealing to the younger audience.
Yeah,
which is going to pay off later on.
Which is funny because it's already out on PlayStation. Like you can already buy Minecraft on PlayStation. Right. So. I don't know.
Well, few games have have this kind of retention rate, though. This is as big a game as it was in the first year. Maybe even bigger.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, do you think this acquisition is going to bring any changes to the game? Or, I don't know, do you think it's good or bad?
Didn't the guy that started already, he's not with that company
anymore. Yeah, he left Notch. Yeah. You know, what can you say? Good for him. Did Microsoft do a good acquisition? Maybe time will tell. I think only time will tell.
I think you'd have to look at like a Minecraft 2 Microsoft exclusive and see if that does well.
Maybe, yeah.
Because Minecraft right now, it's too late to be exclusive. Like it's on PlayStation, it's on computer. Like buying the Minecraft isn't going to do a whole lot. But if they can market Minecraft 2, then
which is probably what they. Yeah. We're looking at.
Kind of like Valve did with Dota, you know, they came up with Dota 2 and kind of took over that whole space. Mm-hmm.
I don't know where you could go from Minecraft, though. There's been so many clones. There's been unturned. What's that other one where you play as the late? It looks like Minecraft, but you get guns.
7 days.
Block something. Block.
There's a lot.
Yeah. No. There's a ton of things like that. So I don't know where they could really go with it, but I don't really foresee any changes that this is going to bring. Every time a big company takes over a little company, I don't know. I feel like it doesn't really have much of an effect. I mean,
the focus is lost a lot of the time.
I was reading a business article, and they were talking about, is this healthy or dangerous for the business environment? Because it used to be where you'd build yourself up and then go public and IPO and then grow yourself up from a little company to a big company.
Right.
Now you get to a certain level and you get bought. Like, right. That is the ultimate goal, is for you to be bought by. And now we're developing these super companies, you know, like these Microsofts and these Amazons and these Googles.
But I don't know if Mojang really had anywhere else to go. I don't see them getting any bigger than they already
were.
Yeah,
but, you know, 15, 20 years ago, Mojang would have then started working on their next one, and then eventually they might have become Blizzard, you know?
I don't think lightning's going to strike twice. Minecraft was a one-in-a-million idea.
Well, if you look at Blizzard's early titles, you know, it's like, they're always a developing thing. This company could have kept developing and turned into something, but now this environment, we just, if anything gets good, it gets bought. Oculus, you know, comes around, it gets bought. You know, all these.
Well, what I'm saying, if they had another good idea, another $1 million mine, $2.5 billion idea, they would have done it by now.
Yeah.
They would have dropped that on us and kept the company. But yeah, I don't know. I think it was a smart move by them.
Oh yeah, for sure. Like, if you see $2.5 billion, you take it.
I already told you guys, I'd kill my whole family for $2.5 billion. Yeah.
We'd be just the stepping stones.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Murderous rampage.
We could buy our own studio with that.
Yeah.
All right, moving on down. Game 24 was on Thursday. I was able to watch a little bit of that, even though it was on a weeknight. Pretty good show, I guess. They had a dude I see at every single NVIDIA show come out, talk a bunch of technical specs. They did announce the NVIDIA cards, which is the big deal, and those are out now.
Bobby was jerking off to specs of these.
Oh, absolutely.
Right before we walked in.
And, well, they announced them, price points, the whole deal. Apparently the GTX 980, which I will hopefully be getting soon, is $549. Really good deal on that. The GTX 970, only $329. And they got the benchmarks out on these as well. And the 970 matches up with the AMD 290X for like $200 less. You get the same performance. So it's looking pretty good. And the 980, I'll definitely be selling my 690 and upgrading to a 980. One thing they pointed out, not only are these very efficient, or I'm sorry, not only do these have like great performance, but they're really power efficient, which means there's way more headroom for overclocking. So we're hopefully going to be seeing some really good stuff from this. I know I'm overdue for an upgrade.
Awesome. Cool, bro.
I did not understand much of that.
I'm hoping that he's going
to... But when I go to upgrade my rig, I will be sure to hit you up.
First dibs on that video card. Actually, I'm happy with my video card. Maybe you should buy his video card directly.
See, I don't know. I could make like maybe $400 on eBay for this, and it's a 600 series. You know, I would totally recommend getting something higher than that.
Wait, I have a better card than you do?
No, mine's more powerful, but it is older. So it's, yeah. Albert's got a good thing up here, though. DSR, dynamic super resolution, is something they showcase too. They're taking 4K and downscaling it to 1080p. And apparently this is supposed to give you a little bit better graphics.
They're taking 4K resolution.
They're rendering in 4K and then downscaling it to 1080p.
Uh-huh. And getting better.
And it's supposed to look better.
Just to 1080?
Then, yeah, just rendering at 1080. Yeah. So that's supposedly going to be a lot better.
But if you have a 4K monitor, then you're just watching straight 4K.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Number three.
Okay. Lord.
What? Jesus, dude.
And this is after our request that he not go to the bathroom this time.
I know, right? Okay. So one other thing I think I wanted to talk about.
Are you not going to explain JizX? Because I really want to know what's going on there.
I didn't want to get into it, but I guess I will. I watched this on Twitch. They had a live stream, and the chat room was just cracking me up, which it hardly ever does. But I don't know what was up with their little speech. I don't know if you want to call it a keynote, but when they're up there talking about all this new technology, they kept on picking out the most inappropriate shit. Like, they were showing off PhysX, which is a technology in NVIDIA cards that does a whole bunch of cool shit. I'm not going to get into
it. It's a physics engine.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. But they were showcasing it by showing this like model, like this rabbit, and it was getting splashed by this milky white liquid. So, of course, the chat room blows up just typing JizzX. And I could not stop laughing for like a minute. And then right after that, they go to this thing where they're showing off ambient occlusion, which is how light works. And they have these two balls. One of them's bigger than the other. And they're showing how light bounces off them and if they change the position of the light, how it looks. And they kept on saying, and if you look under the balls, you can see the shadowing. And, of course, the chat room's just blown up after that. It was just so bad. And I don't know if it's because I was watching the chat that I was that it just seemed so inappropriate to me. But I was just like, how do you not see this coming?
I think Albie said that this chat is cancer.
That's yeah, that was the line. It was pretty ridiculous, man. But it was cool.
With the balls.
Yeah, there they are right there. Okay. But also, at the same time they were showing this, I kept on cutting out of the speech or the presentation and going over to another channel they had with Linus from Linus Tech Tips, which is a great YouTube channel if you're into hardware and you know that kind of side of computers. But they're having a modding contest where these guys in different teams were just making these badass computers, just like full-blown, just custom everything, just ground up.
Like doing it live.
And that was really cool because I got really into case modding for a while. I'll see if I can get some pictures of that. I had one that I completely went all out, fully water cooled, got all this custom stuff, cut the case myself, did powder coating. Like it turned out really nice. And then it was obsolete in like 6 months because it was 2008 and like that's when you would buy a video card for $1,000 and 3 months later it was worth half that. Yeah. It was just the times.
Yeah.
But yeah, that was really awesome. Hopefully you guys got a chance to check out some of that event.
I did not. Right. The hardware stuff just loses me.
Well, I think Chad's up next for an upgrade here.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes, I am.
We were just talking about that today.
I just dropped $1,200 on my AC unit because I have a roommate that was begging me for AC. So.
If you're wondering why it's echoey, and it wasn't echoey before, as we used to record at our place, which is padded with a lot of furniture, carpet, and mold.
Yeah.
Yeah. And over here, it's very clean and hardwood floor, so you get a little bit. But it's nice and cool here. Now we have AC over there. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But it looks cleaner on the camera here.
Yeah, it looks a lot better.
Plus, it looks like a porn studio.
It does. This is the actual couch from casting couch.
Yeah. It looks bigger on
the screen. That's how I got such a good deal.
While the girls are very small.
Yeah.
Practically got this thing for free.
Slightly used.
Slightly used. NVIDIA JizzX. All right.
I did want to mention that I still have a bunch of shirts from PAX. We're going to give them out when we hit 500 members. I just want to mention it again. So if you, as listeners, want to help us out, invite some people to the Steam group, the DL Gaming group. If you're not part of the DL Gaming group, I recommend that you join. This is where we talk about all our stuff in between our podcasts. So.
Yep. Next week, it looks like we're looking at Gauntlet. It's coming out in like less than 2 days. So yeah. We're going to pick up the 4-pack, play it a bunch. It's probably going to suck, in my opinion, but I am going to jump in. You know, I'm going to be the archer, calling it.
Okay.
You guys, what do you think? What are you going to play?
I usually play the warrior, I think.
Yeah. Bobby?
Well, you know me, man. I just always go with whatever's left over.
And
I don't think there's a healer class.
Albie, you're going to be a little computer with
some. No, he's the dwarf, right?
Oh, yeah, there is a dwarf. He throws axes, right?
Yeah, something like
that. It's been so long.
It's been a while since Gauntlet.
And this legend looks really good to me. So
it was requested in our feed. So somebody here will buy it and play it this week.
I think it'll be me, honestly.
Okay.
Yeah, we'll figure that out.
It looks really good to me.
Now, are there any other games that you guys plan on playing this week?
I want to see if I can play some more Archeage. Some more Banished. I'm trying to avoid the Smites and the Hearthstones and all the other ones.
Yeah, I cut Hearthstone out of my life, and I still don't have time. So think about how much that was taken up.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to continue on the scary game horror trend. I'm going to play, probably pick up Whistleblower this week. Probably, I picked up Dread Out, which is a game that came out, I think, in May.
Worst name
ever. Yeah, it's pretty bad.
Dread Out? Yeah, I don't know what the hell that means.
It sounds like some, like, Nickelodeon show or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have no idea.
Something they do on a Nickelodeon show.
Yeah.
Oh, you got Dread Out.
Yeah.
Okay, but I will probably play through that. It's an adventure horror game. It looks like it might have some Asian influence on it. I don't know, but I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah. Cool. Looking like it.
Should we talk LOL skins?
So we got some LOL skins to give away. So we have the Arcade Misfortune, right?
Arcade Misfortune.
Right. What's the other one?
Riot Kaylee.
Right. Okay. So is that a skin or is that...
Those are both skins.
Okay, cool. So we have two of each of those and we also have one for a ward skin.
The Riot ward skin.
So, yeah. So we have five LOL things that we want to give away. The way we're going to do it is this time is if you go to... Just in general, even if you don't play LOL... Please go to our iTunes account and, subscribe and put a comment. Cause, recently we did a PC gaming, like, you type in PC gaming, we didn't even come up in the top few. And we used to be towards the top. And just a very, very few comments will get you near the top. Mm-hmm. Five to 10 will get you really close. Cause it's a very small pool. We're a medium fish in a small pond right now.
Yeah. Yeah. We're trying to get a little bit higher up there on iTunes. If you type in PC gaming and search for us, it's like we don't even exist. So we're trying to get ourselves out there and not be too spammy about it. So yeah, we're doing, if you, write a comment or leave a review, what are we doing? First five?
No, not
we'll
first
do, five. We're going to we'll do random.
Random.
Yeah. And if you don't play LOL, that's fine because these things, I've heard they go for about $10 on eBay.
Yeah, you can sell them on eBay.
$10 on eBay, man. That'll get you like My Little Pony stuff, whatever you want.
Pony stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah. So yeah, do that on iTunes, get yourself some free swag. And I don't know, is that all the announcements that we have?
Yeah, I think so.
I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Well, I guess it's about time to wrap things up. If you want to check out any more of our stuff, go to dlgaming.net. That will take you to everything we got, our Steam group, our awesome YouTube channel, any articles that we've run. Yeah, Twitter, all that. dlgaming.net.
Motherfucking titties.
Later.
Titties!